John 20, beginning at verse 19. It's just a very short section, just five verses. To give you a bit of an idea, Jesus has just been, well, was crucified on the Friday. And they've arrived and they found the tomb empty. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. And now it says this. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Thank you. Do keep your Bibles open at that page, 1089. Just before we start, music experts, we're just going to have a very quick music quiz. One song, I just need you to tell me what it's called and who it's by. Okay, are you ready? Glenn Miller, In the Mood. Apparently you do foxtrot to that, so you probably know that, don't you? So my question to you is, are you in the mood? I know. I haven't got any amount more tonight to say, but that I spent a long time on that. Now, come on, are you in the mood? Are you in an Easter celebration mood? Are you in the mood to hear from God's word? Are you in the mood to hear what Jesus has done for us, to hear what he says, what Jesus, the triumphant and the risen and the glorious and the sin-defeating, death-conquering, risen Lord Jesus, King and Lord, what he's going to say to us tonight. I mean, hopefully when we come to God's word, we feel that every week. But on this Easter evening, John says, the evening of the first day of the week, as we celebrate the greatest day in history and the greatest weekend in history. Isn't it a blessing that through God's word that we can join with those disciples, those first Christians, as they encounter the risen Lord Jesus for the first time, as they begin to realise that everything that Jesus had said to them in the 3 years previous, everything that God had written throughout the Old Testament history, in salvation history, has come true, has been fulfilled in the risen Jesus. And how by his death and now by his resurrection, Jesus had and Jesus has completed God's salvation plan. And that meant for those disciples who were locked up in fear of their lives, they now had a hope and a future. And that means for us tonight, wherever we're, however we're feeling, if we know Jesus, we have a hope and a future. That evening of the first day was a moody time. So I've got moody in there again. And what I mean really is that, you know, in what must have been a relatively short amount of time, it says it starts in the evening, the mood changes. The mood changes from a mood of fear to a mood of peace, to a mood of joy, to a mood of mission. And those mood changes are all completely because of what Jesus does, and they're all completely about what Jesus said. It's always about Jesus. And, you know, my prayer tonight for us all is that we, as prayer is for every week as we look at God's word, that we will have a bigger vision of Jesus. How great, how amazing, how wonderful he is as we look at his word tonight. Jesus who meets his followers just where they are, turning them into a fearful, directionless group, into a powerful and Holy Spirit-inspired mission team that go out and do great things for Jesus. So let's look at the mood changes. And firstly, the mood of fear. Verse 19 tells us that the disciples were behind closed doors. They were locked up and they were scared. They were scared for their lives. And wouldn't you be scared? Because Jesus, their leader, had just been executed on the Friday before. The Jewish leaders had given Jesus up to be executed as a blasphemer. The Roman Empire had executed him as being a threat to Caesar. And the disciples in the room, they'd been following Jesus around for 3 years, and so they were in fear of their lives. They were hiding behind locked doors. David mentioned just earlier in the chapter that John tells us that John, the writer, and Peter had been to the empty tomb earlier in the day. Mary Magdalene had seen the risen Jesus and had told the disciples this. And so you might wonder, well, why are they still in fear? Well, you think there's so much has gone on for them over the weekend. And John writes earlier in the chapter, verse 9, that they hadn't worked out yet from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They hadn't worked out what that was going to mean for them. They would over the next weeks. So right now they were locked in. They were frightened. They were isolated. They were in a mood of fear. And only one thing could change the mood. And that was an encounter with the risen Jesus. And of course that's what happens. In the second part of verse 19, into that mood of fear, John tells us that Jesus steps into the picture, literally out of nowhere, and stood among them. And you know, just I love this picture. This Jesus, he doesn't sort of peer through a window looking at them struggling. He doesn't come in and stand in the edge of the room and watch them, you know, in their loss and their confusion and their fear. Jesus comes and he enters right into their situation. And he changes that mood of fear to a mood of peace as he says to them, "Peace be with you." And that term that Jesus used when he said, "Peace be with you," was that Hebrew greeting shalom, which had a really deep meaning a sort of a real right relationship with God. And for the first time probably in history, that's what Jesus is able to bring into that midst, into the fearful group of disciples. He was able to do that because on the Friday before, his death on the cross had settled the payment for all the sin in the world completely. That sin that would otherwise separate the disciples and us from God. Jesus bridged that gap to reconcile us to God, to give us his peace. Paul in Colossians, he writes in chapter 1, verse 20, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, all people, by making peace through Jesus' blood on the cross." As soon as Jesus had been raised from the dead, the reconciliation that he'd achieved through his death on the cross would enable the disciples to know that deep peace, a deep assurance of forgiveness, the deepest peace which Paul later describes in Philippians 4 as the peace of God that transcends all understanding, that goes so deep, that gives us that deep assurance and it guards our heart in Christ Jesus. And that's the same peace that we can have here tonight if we believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. If we've turned to him, if we've accepted that his blood poured out on the cross has paid the death sentence that you and I deserve for our rebellion against God. If we believe and trust in Jesus as we sit here tonight, we're not estranged from God, but we're in the presence of the Lord Jesus in relationship with God the Father, because Jesus accomplished for us once and for all on the cross that peace. So the mood of fear among the disciples has gone. They have God's peace. And that prepares the disciples to recognize Jesus and know him for who he is. Not the dead Jesus, but the fully alive Jesus, the first of the new creation, yet carrying the scars of Good Friday. And as we see from verse 20, when the disciples see the scars that Jesus shows them, their mood is one of joy. They are overjoyed because they know the story hasn't ended. They know there's more to come. Jesus' resurrection brings joy because through the resurrection, the peace, the reconciliation, the forgiveness of the cross becomes hope. Knowing that our faithful God will continue to fulfill all the promises that he's made, ultimately when Jesus comes again to judge the living and the dead, and he calls us to him. 1 Peter 1:3, we did in the egg hunt today, says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Into an inheritance that can never fade, never perish, never spoil." What hope that is. The joy of knowing Jesus is hope. The disciples knew when they saw Jesus alive that he definitely was God, that he definitely was their Lord, their Saviour, their King, and that he would definitely fulfil all the other promises he'd made. Because of their encounter with the risen Jesus, the disciples' fears turned to peace, turns to joy. And that then begins to prepare them for the final mood, the mood of mission. And what a turnaround. This encounter with Jesus takes this inward-looking, scared and weak, pretty hopeless-looking bunch. Jesus takes them, he fills them with his peace and his joy and prepares them to face outwards as he delegates in the rest of these verses his authority and his power to them. The power and authority to carry on his work to tell people about him. And you know, this authority is really serious stuff. Verse 21, Jesus says, as the Father, as the Creator God, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. The authority to speak God's word on his behalf, to proclaim that Jesus is God and King and Rescuer, that authority comes from God. And as Jesus says again in verse 23, he tells the disciples, when people hear and believe that truth of Jesus, you, the disciples, have the authority to confirm that their sins are forgiven, that they have peace with God, that they're reconciled with God. Now, these verses, they don't say that the disciples or us today, if we believe in Jesus as his followers, as his disciples, it doesn't say that we can forgive sins or not forgive sins. Only God can do that. But it gives us this great authority, this great privilege and scary stuff to say that when we tell people the gospel and people believe it, we can tell them on the best authority that they are reconciled to God, they are forgiven, and they too have a hope and a future. Just a quick look at verse 22. I jumped over that. It says that Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Well, we heard in our Luke reading this morning, Luke 24, I think it was, John 14 says the same, Acts 1 says the same. It says that Jesus says to the disciples, the Holy Spirit will come on them after he has ascended to heaven. And we know from Acts 2 that at Pentecost, that's what happened. The Holy Spirit came on the disciples in power. And clearly, as we look at these disciples here, they're not yet in that place. You can tell that, for instance, if you read on, for instance, a week later, they're locked up again. With Thomas this time. It takes them a while. It takes them a few encounters with Jesus to get them right. But we all know that, don't we? Most likely this verse is here is that Jesus is giving the disciples a symbolic and advance notice that they will receive the Holy Spirit. And I think he's saying to them that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive my breath. You will receive the breath of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the word of Jesus, the power of Jesus in you. And as I was thinking about this verse, I was thinking, you know, you look at Matthew 28, the Great Commission, and you look at this, and it's almost as though Jesus is breathing onto them and saying, I am with you always through that breath. Now, these last verses are a bit complicated. I could spend ages on them and still we might not understand it completely. But you know, to some extent, they are also really simple because they make clear, as does the rest of this little passage, that everything is about Jesus. All the initiative is his. It's not ours. It's Jesus who pays for our peace and forgiveness and reconciliation on the cross. It's Jesus who brings joy and hope through his resurrection. It's Jesus who gives us his Holy Spirit. It's Jesus who gives us his authority. It's Jesus who sends us out to serve him, tell others about him. It's all about Jesus. I know I've separated those four moods of fear and peace and joy and commission and mission really just to help emphasize how Jesus changes the disciples through this encounter with him. But for us, this side of Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, peace and joy are really entwined, aren't they? They can't really be separated. They come together with the giving of the Holy Spirit. They come together with being sent out by Jesus as soon as we repent of our rebellion against God and we say yes to Jesus. It comes as one package, if you like. For the disciples, it was slightly different for them because, you know, they were followers of Jesus. They saw Jesus before and after his resurrection. They were there before and after Jesus' ascension. They were there before and after the giving of the Holy Spirit. But for us, it's one decision of faith in Jesus that does everything at once. It's so profound and yet it's so simple. Paul says in Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified and back into a right relationship with God, justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. They're entwined together, but personally I find it, and just share this in case it's helpful to you, I do find it helpful personally to sort of look at the two as, I don't know, different sides of the same coin, if that makes sense. On one hand, the cross I look as bringing peace through the forgiveness of sins and that reconciled relationship with God. And then on the other side, the resurrection bringing joy and hope, because in raising Jesus to new life, I know that God has accepted the reconciling death as Jesus as full payment for my sin, for your sin, once and for all. So three quick things to take away into the week ahead. Firstly, there is no need to be in a mood of fear. Whether that's a health fear, a relationship fear, a money fear, a school fear, work fear, I don't know what to do fear, all sorts of other fears that can drag us down. We don't need to fear because God's word tells us that the risen Lord Jesus will step right into our circumstances. Whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, wherever and whenever, it tells us that he doesn't look from a distance from on high or outside. He comes right into our circumstances. And he brings the ultimate comfort of his peace and his joy if we believe in him. And so I just say to you today that if you are feeling locked in by any sort of fear today, can I encourage you again to read the passage that we're looking at tonight? Read another passage about Jesus. Talk to a trusted Christian friend about it. Pray about it. And ask Jesus by his Holy Spirit to have a fresh encounter with you and to change your mood. You do not have to fear if you know Jesus. Secondly, a question that I think we should keep asking ourselves individually and as a church every day, really. The question is, have we locked ourselves in with the news of Jesus? Or are we facing outwards? Are we waiting? Are we looking for new opportunities to share Jesus, to invite someone to hear about Jesus? We should pray for that. We should pray for that all the time. We're going to be starting, I think, in 2 weeks' time, a series in the morning on Acts. Acts of the Apostles in the morning service. And that looks at how these same disciples, these disciples who were in fear of their lives and locked in, were transformed by Jesus, by the risen Jesus, into a bold and an amazing mission team. Let's pray that we're something like them. And then lastly, and definitely, definitely, definitely not leastly, let's enjoy Jesus. Let's enjoy Jesus. Let's praise him. Let's thank him. Let's worship him. Let's glorify him. Let's serve him. Let's give him priority in our life. And let's pray that the peace and the joy of knowing Jesus, the certain hope that the risen Lord Jesus brings, will shine through our words and our actions this week. May people we meet and talk to this week see the risen Lord Jesus, the sin defeating, death conquering, wonderful, amazing Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are awesome. You are amazing. You are great. You are wonderful. Lord, we could go on all night and we would not have enough words to say how great you are. Lord, I thank you that you, Jesus, are a God who steps into our circumstances. that you bring your peace and your joy for those who will trust in you, who will turn away from their rebellious life and turn to you. Lord, if there's someone here tonight who is feeling locked in by fear, I pray that you would release them by your peace and joy tonight. I pray that you would lift by your Spirit the burden that is on them, and that they would, with that peace and joy, Lord, be able to turn outwards, and that you would show yourself in them, in their words and their actions. I pray that for all of us, Lord, as the week goes ahead. I pray that the wonder of your resurrection would just, you wouldn't let it go. You would just etch it so deeply in our hearts and in our brains, that for every opportunity that arises next week, that we wouldn't miss, that we would want to tell people about you, for people to see something in us that can only be explained by the risen Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.